You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6 minutes after six now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. What is going to be another beautiful day. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We'd love to hear from you today. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And don't forget, after 7 o'clock, we will have another brand new word on the Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest. Your chance to win $200 every day and a giant mattress package worth over $1,300. So the new word comes after 7 o'clock. Every time I think maybe we'll have a day where everything's going to be fine.
You mean normal?
Yeah, normal is good.
What would normal look like in 2026?
Hopefully gas prices are down a little bit, because I went yesterday and filled up and it was 40 cents a gallon more than it was exactly a week ago. So that's cheerful.
I got some major sticker shock yesterday. I have a Subaru Crosstrek who I hadn't put gas in since the prices increased. So 2 weeks ago when I put gas in, it was literally $35. Yesterday it was $51.22. The exact same mileage, exact same gas station. I was like, wow, okay, well, that pretty much sucks on a Monday. If your day wasn't bad enough on a Monday, don't go to the gas pumps on a Monday.
Yeah. Don't go to the gas station anytime soon. If you could, if we could go back to pioneer days, if you have a Conestoga wagon parked behind your house
Get
and a
your
horse,
ox,
that may be the way to go.
Oxen might be a good choice now, too.
Oxen would be good. That's going really old school.
It is.
Well, Parker's got the Amish beard, so he would love to have horse-drawn carts.
I mean, hey, I think I should just start living in the studio. I'll be honest. I don't think there's any need for me to really go home. We've got a kitchen here. So.
We do. Yeah, and a couple couches.
Yeah.
Not a lot of need traffic a blanket there after the afternoon. You'd have the whole evening to yourself.
This is true.
I think this could be fun.
Entertainment during nightlife from 5 to 7 while Dom is here producing. And
there you
then,
go.
You know, you there's TVs here. You
then rent out an office for an Airbnb.
There
Pick
you
up
go.
A little extra scratch on the side.
There you go. Oh, Brian. Man, now we're thinking. This could be lucrative.
I'm here to help a brother out, that's all. Well, should we start looking overseas to Iran and see what the latest is over there? Why not? Here's some headlines coming out of that region. Iranian attacks on Tel Aviv Tuesday left buildings damaged and vehicles burning, as seen on video that was obtained by CNN. Israeli authorities said Iran launched 7 waves of missiles since midnight. Meanwhile, Israel is also continuing to strike Iran.
President Donald Trump told CNN that there are, told CNN that there are 15 points of agreement between the U.S. and Iran after talks this weekend. He announced that he will hold off strikes against Iranian energy sites for 5 days after earlier threatening an attack if Tehran did not let the Strait of Hormuz fully reopen. The goalposts on this keep moving, Brian, as far as the Strait of Hormuz. If you weren't following along yesterday, it was 48 hours. And then by the time this show ended, it was a week. And then there were talks that Iran says never actually happened. So I'm not sure really where the truth lies right now.
Well, it's scary that Iran is becoming more trusted source than our own administration. And as you mentioned, another headline, Iran's foreign ministry said there was, quote, no dialogue between Tehran and Washington. That, according to state-affiliated media, separately, the semi-official Fars news agency, citing what it described as informed Iranian sources, said plans are being prepared for potential actions targeting Tel Aviv and some regional allies of the U.S. and Israel. So it doesn't sound, this sounds like another, I got a call from a former president. I'm not at liberty to say which one. And they said, sir, you're doing, I wish I had the courage to do what you did. And then every living president went, no, that didn't. Maybe he had a dream where he talked to Herbert Hoover, but we didn't talk to him.
I mean, at some point, though, this is what should be concerning, is we keep getting told, right, that this war is, what were we told? Short-term excursion just last
Very
week.
Short-term.
That's what we were told. We were told that the U.S. was definitely winning this war. This does not feel like winning. If you're watching this from afar, if you're watching our news media, if you're watching what's happening, if you're listening or reading anything that's coming in from overseas as far as, you know, the BBC or even Al Jazeera, whatever your source is, this does not feel like something that the U.S. is winning. This feels a little bit like the U.S. is in some sort of quagmire and there is really no end in sight, which is what the big fear going into this always was.
Well, the U.S. is alone. We wanted isolationism and we've got it. We don't have allies anymore because he has alienated them. We don't have anybody helping here because he didn't talk to anybody before he did this. And within an hour, he'll say the straits are open.
Yep.
Then 30 minutes later, we need help to open the straits.
Mm-hmm.
Iran has been decimated. No, we have to keep going in there and destroy them. There's no consistency of message. There's no fact-based message. It's whatever this old man decides pops into his head. He is, for all intentions, a doddering grandfather who's just sitting there spouting off whatever pops into his head. And unfortunately, this doddering grandfather has the most powerful position in the world. And so we are all at his mercy. And it doesn't look like this is going to end anytime soon, because if you listen to what is being floated as the offer to Iran, it's what President Obama had already worked out with them. It's the same deal. But now, once you start bombing a place, they're a lot less likely to sit down and talk to you.
Right.
Unless you bomb them into submission, which Iran doesn't seem submissive.
No.
And they haven't submitted yet, so.
No, absolutely. And I think that was the biggest miscalculation. I mean, there were several miscalculations going into Iran, let's be clear. But I think that was the biggest, especially from this administration, as you see the news roll out, that they thought they were going to go in there, they were going to bomb Iran, they were going to take out the Ayatollah, the leadership was going to be in chaos, which it wasn't. They already had made plans, regime deep in order if something happened to the Ayatollah. And it seems like that was one of the biggest miscalculations, that they were just going to roll over and say, oh, you bombed us, the Ayatollah's dead, do whatever you want
at
this
point. Have mercy on us, great American leaders.
And that's not what's happened at all. In other headlines from Iran, oil prices dropped following the president's statement, and Asian markets rallied early Tuesday this morning. Looking over at breaking news this morning, oil prices back over $100 a barrel as of right now, within just the last few minutes, as the overseas markets start to open, that is.
And Cindy texts in, you can too, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. She says simply, the man is nuts. All right. Well stated, Cindy. Let's talk about some other stuff you need to know. The Pentagon has announced it will relocate journalists from their longtime workspace inside the building to a separate annex on Pentagon grounds, citing security concerns. Yeah, because the press has been the one that has caused all kinds of... I could see that. It couldn't be that we just don't want to see them around.
Right.
The move comes just days after a federal judge ruled that the Defense Department's media policy violated press freedom and due process rights. The department says it will comply with the ruling, but strongly disagrees and plans to appeal. Under the changes, the historic correspondence corridor is closed, and journalists will need escorts to enter most areas of the Pentagon outside scheduled briefings. Many reporters and media organizations dispute the security justification, arguing the policy changes are intended to restrict access and punish journalists seeking information.
Yes.
That seems about right.
Well, that's what they've been trying to do since the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, this is what all of the rules, all the regulations going back months to that very first Pete Hegseth memo that came out basically saying these are all the steps you're going to have to take in order to get your press credentials, which is why now in the Pentagon, we don't actually have any reputable news sources. It's all very right-leaning, very conservative, maybe verging on propaganda type news services. offices that are in the Pentagon right now. Because if you remember back to that memo, that's when all of the credible press and maybe the mainstream, if you want to call it, basically turned over their credentials and was like, fine, if we have to go through all of this just to get access to what should be public knowledge, we're done. Which
yeah, and the info is going to get out one way or another, Pete. Pistol Pete. He does not want anybody asking him questions. Because here's the thing, when you know nothing and you're in over your head,
yes,
the last thing you want is somebody asking you a question to reveal how much you are in over your head. And you know, yesterday the president actually turned on somebody. He did his usual thing.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter asked him a question he didn't like. Well, who are you with? Oh, this time it was Newsmax, though. And
that makes it complicated.
You're not doing a really good job.
That makes it very complicated. And for Pete Hegseth, I think it's interesting that this is a man who is trying to avoid the press at all costs when we know how much he loves a camera. I mean, it is fact that he has had makeup booths installed in most offices.
Yes.
But this is a man who loves the camera. So the fact that he's trying to avoid the press so much tells you that he probably doesn't want to answer the questions that they're actually asking. In other news that you need to know, immigration officers were deployed to 14 airports across the United States yesterday as part of that effort by the Trump administration to help alleviate long lines and severe delays caused by understaffing at security checkpoints. By yesterday afternoon, it was unclear how much of an impact ICE's presence was having. Wait times at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport reached 4.5 hours over the course of the day as the airport closed all but two of its security checkpoints. In Atlanta, where waits reportedly stretched to as long as 6 hours over the weekend, airport management advised travelers to allow at least 4 extra hours to account for delays at security.
Man.
There has been little evidence of any progress towards a deal to end the standoff over reopening DHS. Trump rejected a potential bipartisan compromise that would have allowed all non-immigration agencies within DHS, including the TSA, to resume normal operations. In fact, there have been five proposals put in front of the Republicans, which a lot of the Republicans have agreed to get people back to work to alleviate these delays. It's actually the president who has said, no, do not make a deal with the Democrats. And we know this because the Republicans are actually coming out now and saying the president does not want us to make a deal. This is what they are saying at this point.
When John Kennedy from Louisiana comes out, and he is the foghorn leghorn of legislators, he is the most southern fried Yahoo I have ever run across. He actually said the words, "This is Trump's shutdown."
Yes.
It's like, Johnny, you're getting called to the woodshed, brother. Man, all right, real quick before we have to take a break, the Supreme Court's conservative majority appeared dubious of the state laws that allow the counting of mail-in ballots that arrive at election officers after Election Day. Justice has heard oral arguments in a challenge to Mississippi's 5-day grace period for mail ballots. Justices raised an assortment of reasons why they saw those policies as problematic, seemingly embracing Republicans' arguments that state laws run afoul of statutes passed by Congress establishing Election Day in November for federal offices. So stay tuned. That is not a done deal just yet. When we come back, Washington County is suing. What are they suing over? We'll find out after this.
6:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. We hope that your morning is going well. Thank you so much for waking up and spending it with us. We do appreciate it. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We've got a lot of texts coming in. Roger wants to know if we're going to talk about the $1 billion not to build windmills. It's on the list. If we don't get to it today, we'll get to it tomorrow. But yes, we are doing that. Also, I would urge you, and I know everybody's morning schedule is different, but one day if you have time to stream and watch get the show behind the show where
why do I feel like this
you
is
know,
about me?
At some point I just want Parker to just turn the mics on because the show we're always in the middle of something.
Right.
And you go, 10, 5. And it's like, just open the mic. So we'll just, it'll just be a continuous stream of consciousness show.
It'll be fine.
That won't be confusing at all for the listeners on the radio.
Well, listen, then I don't know what to tell you. We've got, you got to listen everywhere.
There's a lot to talk about. And we talk about a lot of it. It's the show behind the show.
It continues.
It does. It does. So if you have the opportunity, please join us on the stream. And hey, while we're mentioning it, if you're online, give us a like over on our new Facebook page, also on Instagram. Yeah. Just do a search for Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. We would love for you to follow along with everything we're doing here and, you know, be a part of it. Yes. Comment and... Only if it's nice, though.
Avoid the rush. You know, soon everybody's going to want to be part
That's
of
right.
it. You could be in on the ground floor. This is kind of odd. An education foundation has sued Washington County over its plans to sell the former University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Washington County campus to a private Christian school. The Washington County Charitable Foundation sued March 6th, asking a judge to block the county's sale to Ozaukee Christian School. So for decades, the foundation supported local students studying at the Washington County campus, including a $1.1 million gift for the renovation and construction. But there was a condition, and that condition was the purpose had to be for public education. And now they're saying, private Christian school is not public education, so stop.
Yeah, in fact, I did a little investigating into what the organization is that filed this complaint. And literally, they give money to students who are trying to, from lower income families. They're very diversified. They like to make sure that the money goes to students of all different backgrounds. And it's really just to give them a leg up with, as you stated, with the public education. And so the complaint that they filed says that those funds donated by the foundation with the specific charitable purpose of benefiting public education dramatically increase the value of the property, the sale of which will result in an unjust windfall to the county and city. Now, if you don't know, UW-Milwaukee closed that Washington County campus back in June of 2024 because of declining numbers of Wisconsin high school students and also financial pressures. So the two-year branch campus was jointly owned by Washington County and the city of West Bend. And so the closure, as you can imagine, left the government with this 80-acre property and 200,000-square-foot building that costs at least $300,000 annually to maintain. The city transferred the ownership interest to the county in February of this year, according to the complaint, and terms of that transfer have not been publicly released as of yet.
Yeah, and there was they decided they were going to sell it to, the county was going to sell it to Ozaukee Christian School, but then they were going to get $3 million bucks. But then people were criticizing it because they didn't do open bidding. So, and they say that the offer that they were going to take from the Christian school was well below the appraised value, which was at $5 million. So, yeah, that's a big difference between three and five. When it comes to millions.
And the state legislature actually passed a law that gives up to $2 million in grants to counties or cities with a closed UW campus so that they can aid in the redevelopment. The money must be used to enhance the community's economy, though, in some way, like facilitating some job creation, more housing, improving public infrastructure, or contributing to workforce development. Washington County had previously set aside money to repair the building's electrical system, which would have used that $2 million grant before they decided to sell it to Ozaukee Christian, Brian.
All right, and they're still negotiating. It's still in the process of the sale, but Washington County spokeswoman Fran McLaughlin said that she had no update on the status of the WEDC grant. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. That's the thing. Anytime I look at some lawsuit, I look at it from kind of a basic common sense thing. Well, this was the deal. You don't, it has to be used for public education. You're trying to sell it to somebody else who is not in private education. You're allegedly selling it at a price lower than it needs to be sold at just to get a quick cash grab. It looks like from the outside. So should be open and shut, but
Well,
law never is open and shut.
No, it never is. But I think what's interesting about this particular case that we're talking about, story, whatever you want to call it, there are multiple UW branch campuses that have closed across the state. So what happens here is this going to set a precedent for those other communities? I mean, we came from Baraboo, where that campus also closed. They've got a beautiful facility sitting there, not being used in any sort of way. So I think this is interesting for a lot of these communities. Is this a decision that could influence how some of these similar properties are handled across the state? Who's going to get them? How much are they going to be sold for? Whether it's going to benefit the public or not? Whether it's going to be used for private education when it was essentially set up for public education, which also goes back to a conversation we had yesterday about the privatizing of education in this country and in this particular state as well. And there has been a huge push, as a lot of us are aware, of more of that private education voucher type education system where we're doing away with more public education especially across the state of Wisconsin. We've seen that play out time and time again. And I think this is just another example of a growth and a push towards that.
Well, nobody wants a large swath of land just sitting there unused. That's unsightly for a community. Right. It's dangerous. If you can sell it, you need to at least try to get as much as you can. That's just basic economics. Don't take $2 million less if you can get the appraised value. When we come back, the Supreme Court, very puzzling, because every time we think they're backing things, they don't. And every time we think they won't, they do. Let's go.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're with us. If you want to get into the show, you want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A new word for our break into spring multi-state text-to-win contest coming up after 7 o'clock. I can't get a handle on this Supreme Court. Sometimes I think they're in the pocket of the administration. Other times they make rulings where they go, oh, they're actually looking at the law and doing their thing. Well, they did their thing yesterday, and it was a good news for the press. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to take up a case challenging a Texas law that make it a felony for journalists to request non-public information from government officials, leaving lower court rulings in place. Now, Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissented. She argued the case threatens a core function of journalism, asking government sources for information, and called the arrest at the center of the case a clear First Amendment violation. So good for the Supreme Court yesterday. This case, they're doing everything they can to try to shut down the press. Thankfully, the court sometimes makes the right call.
They really, really are. And, you know, it's weird because you're right. The Supreme Court will do something that is feels completely out of character for a Supreme Court. And then all of a sudden they actually uphold the law of the land. And sometimes you feel like you're being set up, though, don't you? And I hate being like that. But we live in a time where you feel like you're being set up where we're going to give you a couple of wins and then, nope, we're gonna definitely side with the administration. So, I mean,
I'm waiting for them to say, yeah, you can run for a third term. Wait, what?
Right, exactly.
But we gave you the freedom of, we gave you the press case. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah, and we said the tariffs were illegal. Remember that? Yeah. But now we've decided, yeah, you can run.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's probably not what's happening. I try not to think in those terms, but sometimes
I was going to say, who are you, me all of a sudden?
Sometimes it feels like that, right? This particular case, it was interesting because it involved a Texas journalist who was arrested back in 2017 after she published stories about a border agent's public suicide and a car crash. She was arrested because she fact-checked her stories with information that was voluntarily provided by a police officer. This law had never been used before her case and makes it a felony to solicit from public officials information that has not previously been publicly disclosed.
It's a felony to ask a question. That's basically what that law says.
Yeah, basically, if the public doesn't know about it and you obtain that information, it is a felony according to this particular law in Texas, right?
I was going to say Woodward and Bernstein are probably, thank you God, they didn't live in Texas.
Right? Because they had multiple sources that never went public.
Exactly.
A lower court initially ruled that the law was too vague and unconstitutional, and a federal appeals panel agreed that the journalists' rights were violated. Now, the full Fifth Circuit later ruled that police and prosecutors were protected by qualified immunity. And let's be realistic for just a moment when we're talking about the Fifth Circuit. Which covers Texas. This is seen as the most conservative appeals court in the country. Mm-hmm. It often issues decisions that push the law in a very right-leaning direction, especially on issues involving, government power and individual rights. So it was not surprising that that was how the Fifth Circuit actually leaned in this particular case. But the appeals court said officials could believe that they were enforcing the law, even if it was unconstitutional, meaning that this journalist could not sue them. And by declining this particular case, the Supreme Court allows that decision to stand, raising concerns that journalists could face arrest for routine reporting practices if officials rely on unclear or untested laws. Now, here's a question. Is this just a Texas thing, or is this essentially what we're trying to do to journalists all across the country?
Well, this Texas law is a test case for a bigger move. We see it all the time, and it is alarming. People tend to be downplaying this, which surprises me, because so many of us have been inundated with this lie of fake news that now the distrust for journalists across the board is very widespread. But yeah, I've never heard of something like this until I read this story and heard about this case, that you could be jailed with a felony count for asking a question that wasn't public information. Well, that's how all information, and you pointed it out, it bears repeating, that's how reporters, journalists get their stories. If you waited just for the public, that's what, I'm jumping around a little, but that's what the administration wants us to do. Wait for them to give us the story, and that's the news. Whereas to get to the truth, you have to get somebody who is willing to talk to you off the record or as an anonymous source or whatever it is to give you stuff that is not public. Because if you rely only on the message given to you by the government, you will never get the truth. You will only get propaganda. You'll get whitewashed stories, and you'll get things like they're trying to do now. Why don't you, and we've heard it, why don't you just report the positive parts of the war? Well, really, there's not much positive about war, first of all.
No, it's
Pistol
war.
Pete. There's, I'm contractually obligated. For those of you who are like, why does he do that? It's in my contract. I have to do it, or else I get fined.
I think it's mandatory.
And I could go to jail with a felony. But that they're trying it everywhere. So to answer your question, yes, this is the plan. Silence any sort of dissent, whether it's from the people protesting, whether it's from journalists trying to get to the truth, whoever it is, the story, the truth comes from us.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask it. Why would we lie to you?
Right.
We are giving you the truth.
You know, I think about this case mostly because in a former life, I was a journalist. Even in my current role, I have a lot of conversations that are off the record, where I'm curating stories and I'm looking at things for us to talk about here and give sources to our news department. And so I think about that in this particular case, and it's frightening to know that those types of conversations by some people are essentially seen as shouldn't be happening, are illegal. I mean, it is how you source information and you find out what's happening, where you have to have a little bit of that inside edge, or you have to be able to get your facts straight. And sometimes that's exactly what it is. Some of my conversations on a daily basis are with people who I can be like, this is what I've seen reported. Is this accurate? Is this the direction it's headed? Is this what I'm thinking it is, kind of thing? And sometimes it's just, I just need a simple yes or no. But according to what we're hearing here, that would be illegal in the eyes of this particular law. which is insane.
It's happening in other places. We mentioned last week something about Kerry Lake with the Voice of America. Well, journalists from the Voice of America are suing the federal government, claiming officials interfered with their newsroom and violated laws meant to protect editorial independence. The lawsuit alleges censorship of coverage, especially related to Iran. Maybe, did they not report that everything was hunky-dory?
Probably not.
Oh, boy. Their claim some content was turned into pro-Trump propaganda rather than objective news. Sound familiar? Sound scary? Both the answers should be yes to that question. And this is because Kerry Lake, remember her? She was trying to be the governor of Arizona. Yeah, that didn't work out. She's another failed news person.
She is. No,
just like Pistol Pete.
She is, absolutely. And then because there wasn't really... The deal with Kerry Lake, and the way I understand it, how she even got any part of this administration, is that she wanted a much bigger role. And
of course, she wanted to be Kristi Noem.
Right. And because of the past news headlines around her, and the administration, there was somebody in the Trump administration who was like, no, she's too far for us. She's too far gone for us.
And yet Kristi Noem shot her dog, and she was elevated to the highest heights.
Right. So Kerry Lake eventually got placed into this role overseeing Voice of America just because I think the administration just didn't really want to deal with the tantrum that was about to ensue from her if she didn't get a place. So they put her in charge, and that's essentially how she got there. She was an anchor in Arizona for quite some time, not a super popular anchor in Arizona. She thought her popularity would propel her to all these multiple offices. Let me just be clear.
But she's a lunatic.
She didn't just lose these races that she entered. She was
smoked.
Demolished in all of these races that she entered. And so with this, the judge ruled that VOA's parent agency was being run unlawfully and ordered over 1,000 employees back to work. The journalists argue that the damage to credibility and independence has already been done. Now, if you're not familiar with Voice of America, this was created to do exactly that. This was created to deliver factual, nonpartisan news and stand up to propaganda and to authoritarian countries. For decades, this has literally been a symbol of telling the truth.
Little did they know they would be entrenched in one.
Right? It's been the symbol of telling the truth where others couldn't. And what's striking is that people working there probably never thought that they were going to have to fight for the same principles that they've been reporting on for years and years. Now, some of their specific claims include political appointees influencing the coverage, banning certain topics or guests, and even punishing journalists who pushed back against that sort of censorship.
It is becoming a government mouthpiece. That's what they're claiming.
That's what they want.
That's what they say. That's what the government wants.
Yes.
That's not what the Voice of America journalists want. This should be a big deal to everybody. It should. And this is not alarmist, but look at history for a little bit. Look at countries where the press became limited. And I don't have to run down the list for you. You can do it yourself. A lot of you probably are drawing those parallels anyway. But once you cannot expose the truth, you are in a lot of trouble. And when the message only comes from one place, you're in a lot of trouble. It goes all the way back to when we were kids and we read the story of the emperor with has no clothes. It's a basic message we all learned. And anybody who's gone into journalism, you know. And I'm not talking about, bloggers and content creators. I'm talking old school journalists. Mm-hmm. You fact check. You get to the bottom of the story. Your whole goal is the truth. And maybe... when you get to the truth, it's not what you thought it was going to be when you started that story, but it is the truth, and the facts are out there. And then the public gets a chance to judge, because how can you make a decision if you don't have the facts? If you're looking anything in your home, anything in your daily life, before you make a big decision, right? You're comparing this product to this product, yeah. or this neighborhood to this neighborhood, or a school district. You do that in every other aspect of your life, but we're not afraid to give that up for the sake of the country.
No.
It doesn't make sense to me.
As somebody who's been in journalism for a really long time, if journalists are not able to do their jobs freely, we don't get the full story. And if that information is being filtered or it's being shaped by people in power, that becomes harder to hold everybody accountable. And that's essentially what it is.
Well, and this administration fears accountability more than cats fear dogs.
It is 6:48 right now.
That was not a good analogy, but it was the last one I had. It's all I had.
It's 6:48 right now. This is Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Have you ever admired someone and they let you down? We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you want to join in the conversation, remember you can always do so by calling or texting 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. And Brian, we are getting ready for another day of a chance to win some cash and maybe a really great grand prize. Our break into spring multi-state text to win contest. Another word coming up after 7 a.m. So have your Civic Media app ready. And hey, because we like to give things away around here, on Thursday, we have something a little extra special since it's Brewers opening day.
Yes, we are going to be giving away two pairs of Brewers tickets to an upcoming game. We'll tell you what game that is, but
it's
a good one. So be listening. On Thursday, we're going to play a game. Frank has come up with a brand new game, and we'll give you a chance to win tickets to go see a Brewers game this season.
And good
seats.
So
that will be fun.
They're like they're like our club level seats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So you're gonna get the club level seats.
Right.
You're going to get a pair of them for you and a friend or, you know, significant other. Take a friend. They usually are going to have more fun with you anyway. And we're going to
scathing indictment of Jamie's marriage right there. That's fun to you take whoever you want. What are we, the boss here?
Sometimes he has to shush me.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, whatever happens in your home, that's on you. That's up to you guys. We're not here to investigate. We're not here to disappoint, which is the question. Have you ever admired somebody and they turned out to be a huge disappointment? Maybe you had a run-in with an athlete or a celebrity that you really liked, or you believed wholeheartedly in a politician and they completely let you down. As a kid, I was fixated and fascinated and loved Bill Cosby albums.
Mm.
I mean, albums are black vinyl discs that you would play on a turntable.
Yes.
A turntable.
They have a needle that comes down.
How do you get are there four legs on the table and you put wheels on the bottom and you have to spin it?
Well, it depends. If you have a giant console record player like my grandma did, which was the size of a Buick, then yes, it's got legs on it and it weighs about 700 pounds.
Okay.
But yes, records are how people used to consume music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of comedy. And so I had all these Bill Cosby albums, and I loved him. He was a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I patterned my stand-up. I tell stories rather than jokes. But yes, well, we all know what happened to Bill Cosby. And now a woman who accused Bill Cosby of sexually abusing her for more than 5 decades ago, rather, was awarded $19.2 million by a Southern California civil jury on Monday. An attorney for the plaintiff released that information. Punitive damages are still pending in the 2023 lawsuit filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court in Santa Monica by Donna Motziger, who accused him of sexual battery, alleging that he abused a server whom he met at a Northern California restaurant in 1972.
Now, as you can imagine, like he has been doing throughout the entire dramatic story of how this has all played out. Yeah. Cosby, who is now 88, has denied any of these allegations. And in fact, in a statement, a former representative for him said that Cosby was deeply saddened by the verdict, which he said sets a dangerous precedent to, quote, allow decade-old allegations presented without evidence or proof to stand. Now,
I don't think that's how it works.
No,
I think there's usually evidence and or proof.
After this many years and this many stories of how he victimized these women time and time again in the same exact way, there's proof. There's proof.
Yeah,
you just have to believe the women. This kind of goes back to what we've been talking about during the whole Epstein files, which, by the way, those have been swept under the rug now with everything
else.
Yeah,
they're still out there, folks. Don't
they
get
are.
Quiet about those. Well, here's the thing. This was a civil case. So that means usually a civil case comes after a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
We already know he's been convicted
yes.
criminally of this. So it's hard. Here's a question for you, Jamie. Can you separate the art from the artist? Because I think back, as I was preparing to talk about this, I was thinking back to having and the bits and the stories
yeah.
and how much I loved them. And they'd still, like, I can't separate it now. I can't go
it's
and
hard.
Listen to those comedy bits because they were by a guy I
yeah.
didn't know was a monster.
Right. I think that's the tricky part, because if you really do enjoy the comedy of Bill Cosby, you have to, but I think with everything
we know. Or
what
about the music of Michael Jackson?
Well, there is that, you know,
R.
and
Kelly,
we have that conversation in our house all the time. My kid is a huge Kanye West fan as far as the music goes, right?
I thought you were going to say Conway Twitty.
I almost did. Kanye West. He's a huge fan as far as his artistry and his music. He thinks Kanye West is a horrible human being, but he's
right.
like, I can appreciate what he does musically and what he puts into his music, his writing, because he said at that level, for what he does, he's a genius, but he's like, he's an awful person. However,
maybe comedy and music are different, though.
Perhaps.
Comedy, I think, is more personal because the person is representing this as their real self.
Right. Yes.
Whereas music, you can hide behind whatever.
Yeah,
maybe it's a different story there.
Yeah, and I don't know, but I remember, like, I grew up with Bill Cosby, right? America's Dad, The Cosby Show.
Oh my God,
if
yeah.
you know, you
please.
Go back to even Fat Albert and the gang, and all. Oh, it was one of my favorites. I watched that as a kid. I watched all of the Cosby Show episodes.
I Spy. He was the first black actor to anchor a major network show.
And now we have a man who is. Who has been convicted of several separate cases. And remember, he's had cases overturned as far back as 2021 after a state Supreme Court vacated mm-hmm. sentences, finding that he was denied protection against self-incrimination. So I think that's what he keeps falling back on is, well, there wasn't proof. Well, yes, there was. These women, multiple women, have said the same thing about you over and over. And
yeah.
it makes you not a great human. Makes you actually pretty disgusting and abysmal, but, you know, here we are.
Laugh it up.
It's 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. The new Text to Win word coming up after 7 o'clock right here on The Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.